to do a show.
Yes.
All right, well, here we go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet, your Ewan Rankin stand-in. And Ewan, we are so looking forward to you feeling better and being able to join us again. Because while I am more than happy to host as often as you need, there's just something special about when you were here running the show. Also, I don't have to go and find a bunch of articles for the show today if you're here. So it's actually easier for me. Anyhow, Ewan, we're looking forward to seeing you again when you can join us. We have an amazing panel here today, as always, and no doubt simply because they are here, I'm going to look intelligent because it's just going to rub off onto me from all of them. So I will take what I can get. And first up, Chuck Joyner, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. I'm great. But you know, whenever you introduce the show, it's like, gee, isn't that Ewan? Because you two look so much alike.
You know, I get that a lot.
Yeah. And the accent. I mean, the accent, I hardly even notice the difference.
I know. It is just so much the same. And here's dead on. Make me a cuppa, bullocks,
wanker.
There we go. See, exactly yeah. Like Ewan.
The only difference is you have more hair.
well, you know, it is quarantine time, so you know, we could all
everyone
have
more has hair. More hair.
Yeah. Hey, Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's not the best day today. A little grumpy, I would say, but it's okay. It's just Friday. It's just one Friday. Of those days.
Yep. And Dave, how are you doing?
Doing great. Glad to be back. I've had busy meetings the last few weeks, but happy to be back in the saddle here with you guys and having fun talking about tech.
Awesome. Well, it's great to have you back. And Callum, how's it going for you?
It's going well. I'm in Max. Very, very, very busy week. Same old, you know, unfortunately. Lots and lots of working. Very, very busy, which is good.
Awesome. And in the chat room, Muller's asking me to say British words.
can you please say the second one he put? please, just for me.
All right, here we go. So the first word is Wester. I know that.
Wester.
Well, hey, okay. In my defense, everyone in the UK says Dalek, but it's spelled Dalek. just so you know. But the second word, Sirenster.
I don't know. I would say sister. Sirenster.
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 Sirenster. It should start with an S, really, but it doesn't. Because why would you?
I know, because
English. Why make it easy?
Sirencester?
Sirencester. Is that a place? Sirencester and Worcester. Not Worcester, Worcester.
Worcester.
All right, so I will take your British pronunciation requests and everyone be sure and record your favorites so you can turn them into alert tones and ringtones.
There you go.
And we'll make that a Twitter super tweet.
Yes. Okay. There we go. No one actually record them yourselves. New plan, because we will have all the recordings and then Ewan can master them and sell them as a way to raise extra funds for British Tech Network.
Good idea.
All right. I like it. Okay. Well, on that fun note, hey, we actually have some Apple news. And first story, I figure we're just kind of obligated to start here. Apple is suing a former employee for stealing trade secrets and then leaking that information out to the media, and specifically to one person in the media, and that person is not named. The media person isn't named. So here's the backstory. Former Apple employee Simon Lancaster and Chuck, I know that if I'm in your part of the United States, it's Lancaster.
Thank you. Thank you.
See, I can do American pronunciations properly.
Yeah.
And on another side note, I've actually been to Lancaster several times. There used to be a really big printing and publishing expo that was there, and I would go and speak.
And that was before we knew each other. You know, that was before we knew each other, or you would have been welcome to stay at my place. But you know,
yeah. Well, bad timing on my part.
On both.
Yeah. It's always.
Yeah.
It's always the case. Thank you.
Oh yeah. Okay, so here's the deal. Simon Lancaster, he was high enough up the Apple food chain that he had access to a lot of trade secrets. And apparently he was taking internal documents that were supposed to be secret and sharing them with a specific person in the media. And it gets better because this relationship turned into something where the media person was also at some point writing articles that benefited Lancaster and this other company that he was involved in. And
at least that's what Apple is saying. I mean,
yes, that's what allegedly. Apple is saying. Yes. So
that's
alleged.
What Apple has filed. I mean, still to be proven. But yeah, basically what Apple is saying is that Lancaster asked the media person for favors, basically in return for like sharing information with him. So it's not just sharing the information, but it's also like really benefiting from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. Like the project is named Project X. So they're not saying what it is. But everybody is kind of guessing what it could be, like based on the dates that Apple is giving, like where they're saying, oh, there was like this meeting, and then like there was this article that came out after with details and whatever. People are guessing what project that could have been.
I'm leaning towards AR/VR.
Yeah, that's what everybody seems to be saying. It's apparently as well, like he was told like that's where it gets really, I mean, there have been other people that have faked stuff, and there seem to be more than one person. But apparently he was told like he quit, or yeah, I think he quit. And he was told that he should not attend certain meetings or a certain meeting where like Project X was discussed. And he was told by multiple people, and he still went. And then was asked to leave eventually, because he wasn't supposed to be there at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he eventually did, but he said, oh, I was just, like, because I already knew everything, I just wanted to see the demo.
Yep. So. And then the day he quit, apparently Apple's system for shutting down firm employee accounts, at least in this case, didn't shut down his account for several hours after he was gone. So it was like at midnight the day he left, that's when it shut down. And like at 10:30 at night, excuse me, he logged into his account and downloaded a bunch of documents with trade secrets. And so then he had that as well. Excuse me.
So how dumb do you have to be to be terminated and then log into your account and download things that you know there's a log of you downloading?
Yeah. Well, he wasn't actually terminated.
He quit.
But still.
But
there's still a log.
Yeah.
There's still a log. I mean, you know, okay, yes. So I stand corrected on the Terminator, but you know, that is in some ways that's worse because, you know, I did it and I'm not smart enough to download it ahead of time. I got lucky and they didn't shut me down, but why would you
even if you downloaded it ahead of time? I mean, it's still locked. It's like, I guess he thought nobody would ever check it. Like if nobody checks the lock, then you're fine. Like, I guess.
Now, this is not the first case of Apple employees giving away trade secrets for some form of benefit. And yeah. Apple has had a track record over the past several years of when they find these people, they hammer them in court as hard as they can.
Yeah.
And you would think that at some point, these people would start thinking, you know, maybe it's not worth getting caught.
And Apple security, I mean, internally from people who work there, Apple security is crazy. And like they tell you, like when you start in all the time, they tell you a lot of things. I mean, you know, there's entire departments that do nothing but check what you're doing basically and making sure that information isn't leaked. So it's kind of stupid almost to assume that you wouldn't get caught.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, especially when you're leaving. I mean, when you're in a company and like if like it might be okay or you might like fly under the radar, but especially when you leave, like that's a point where every company will have a look and say, okay, let's make sure that person doesn't take our secrets with them, no matter why they're leaving, no matter whether they're the most trustworthy person in the world. I mean, if Tim Cook left the company, I'm pretty sure someone would at least check and make sure that he doesn't take anything. Not that I think he would ever do it, but like someone would in HR would still say, hey, please make sure all our secrets are still with us and would make sure that he doesn't take anything.
It's incriminating evidence too. I mean, it's incriminating evidence
exactly.
by him even downloading all that stuff. And there's someone in the chat room just put a link to his LinkedIn page and just kind of shows how much of a clown he really is. His picture is upside down in his profile. So that's going to gain attention to somebody to you as well. But it's irrelevant. But yeah, this doesn't seem. It seems crazy to me. I think this guy's got some big trouble on his hands. He better have a good lawyer.
Yeah, if I were him, I would take X-Apple out of his byline there.
Yeah.
Just saying.
You know, it makes me wonder if when he quit, if that might have been intentional to leave his account open for, you know, for a few hours, just to see. Because if he wasn't going to do anything, if he was suspected at that point and he wasn't doing anything, it's not going to hurt anything. And if he was doing something, then would he be dumb enough to go in and download it? And, you know, the only trouble with that is if he really did get legitimate secrets, as opposed to maybe something false flag. So I know, in the corporate world here, you know, it's not uncommon if you're terminated or if you quit, you usually don't get to hang around. No. I mean, your access is cut off immediately. You're walked to the door. You're not left alone with your computer or your desk. And frankly, you know, what people don't understand is that's for the benefit of everybody. Because if you terminate me right now and say, you know, thanks, it's been fun, but you're out, I don't want to be left alone, because that way, not only, I mean, obviously I'm not tempted, but that way nobody can accuse me of doing anything because I've been watched the whole time. So anything that went wrong is somebody else's problem. It's not mine because I could not have done it.
Yeah. I can understand the cutoff time, that it's simply okay today, like his last day, the account gets shut off. But usually what I would expect is, I mean, the second he has handed over his hardware and his badge and whatever, that's the second when they shut everything off. Like that's, I know in our company how it's done. Basically IT gets like a pre-information that, okay, this person is going to quit on that date. And then like when it's set, when they will actually like really leave, like it could be the same day, it could be 2 weeks later or whatever, doesn't matter. But when the appointment is set for basically for them to leave, that is when the accounts get shut down. So the second you've handed over your laptop, you couldn't even log in if you wanted to.
Yeah, most companies probably do it that way. He also has an article here he wrote back in 2019 about why he left Apple. So he's very public about the fact that he left Apple for Aeris. And so this just adds fuel to the fire here, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. So
it's incredibly stupid because as you leave, you're right under the microscope. As you've been saying, I've never worked in that kind of environment, but surely you would logically look at it and go, right, I'm leaving. Now is probably not the time to do something incriminating. A week before, maybe. A year before, probably, if you're going to do it. But don't do it like, I've quit. Right, let's rob something. It's
just ridiculous. It is a certain mindset. I mean, it's the same mindset of like other people who, I don't know, delete software like that they've written or shut down servers or whatever, take hardware from the company. I mean, we've had to deal with that as well, where people just never returned their hardware, just left. Stuff like that. So it's the same mindset that's like they think they're like they can just do whatever they want.
He deserves his day in court. No question about that.
Yes.
But, you know, if the evidence is as damning as it appears to be, and you know how we all know how that can be written up, but if it really is as damning as it appears to be, then hang him from the highest yardarm. Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, Apple has to prove that it's true. And I'm guessing, I mean, since they put up this case, that they have enough evidence to do it.
Well, Apple would not go to court unless they're absolutely sure.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I'm not so sure about that.
No, I think, especially in a case like this, where it's going to be relatively public, they would know 100% before even getting a case together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be on the opposing side to an Apple legal team.
No. Exactly. Oh, no. That's the thing. No. Yeah. But I mean, that can also, like, I'm not saying Apple is doing that, but other companies have definitely done that. They use that to their advantage. Like, I mean, if the company doesn't like you for whatever reason, or has some bone to pick with you, or wants to persuade, like, wants to sway you from whatever, talking about anything, they can also bring down that hammer for no reason at all, just to like mess with you. So I said, I'm not saying Apple is doing it, but it has happened in the past. Like other big companies have done that just to silence certain people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. So I have to ask, and the follow-up will be, am I a bad person for this? Is anyone else watching the stories that the big names are writing about what Apple's going to be doing to see which one suddenly doesn't have the good info anymore?
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Apple will do that.
Oh, who wouldn't?
No.
Yeah. I mean, sure.
Thank you for
the other way around. Since he quit in 2019, it has already happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's true. So now Oh, great. Thanks, Patrice, because now I'm actually going to go back and start looking at the track record of the people that consistently have had the accurate stories.
Yeah. Some names have been floated on Twitter. I cannot say whether they're true or not. Like, it's hard to tell. But there are some, like, based on the stories that were written at the time, there have been like a couple names mentioned that had pretty big insights, like one or two articles basically pointing at who could have been the person.
Yes, and part of that's based on when they, you know, part of that is based on the published dates for specific rumor articles.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple actually mentions the dates in their filing. So
yeah.
In that sense, yeah, that could really narrow down who the correspondent was.
Yeah. And I mean, Apple is looking, I mean, that's not a secret. As I said, there's a big security team at Apple. They're doing everything they can to figure out who's leaking information.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard things about like planting false information and false documents and seeing whether they get leaked. to track people. I mean, obviously, tracking traffic and so on. They're doing whatever they can. So it's this is, I mean, Apple is looking at this and looking at, okay, who was at a meeting and then what information from that meeting got leaked. I mean, for sure they're doing that.
Yeah.
I would even bet that this is how they discovered it. That basically the person left and then all of a sudden, well, I mean, one, this information leaked, but two, after that, nothing else. And they were like, okay, so it must be someone who already left. And then they just looked at who left and what they did. And that's how they caught him even. I said, if it's true, like, well, we'll have to see that.
Yeah. And once again, proof that even though it could be enticing for some people, never screw with Apple's trade secrets. If you work for the company, it's going to burn you.
Yeah. I mean, yes and no. I'm always on the fence about like whistleblowers in general, because there are legitimate reasons to do it. And I mean, that's why if it's a like real whistleblower incident, they're protected.
Now that's a different situation. And yeah. I'm totally with you. You know, if it's a case like we're looking at here, where someone was taking trade secrets and then giving them to the media in exchange for whatever benefit they wanted, that's one thing. But if the company is doing something where it needs to be exposed for the health, safety, welfare of everyone involved, whistleblow, totally do it.
Yeah, I mean, one example that comes to mind for Apple is the story about third-party companies or employees of third-party companies having access to Siri recordings. I think that was a whistleblower, and I think that was okay. You could argue whether, like, I mean, there's always an argument, like, is there a way to do that internally? But I think it's okay in this case.
I agree. Yeah, that was a situation where people's privacy, their presumed privacy, was being violated. And so people needed to know, and then Apple fixed it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I have some disagreements with some of my more journalistic colleagues, but you know, this battle cry of the public has a right to know, I don't quite buy that. You know, I don't think the public has a right to know everything. You know, I mean, I don't know
eventually.
Well, yeah, eventually, but you know, after the information being given to competitors, or you know, that's just not right. I'm sorry. Yeah. I miss the old days, and I am dating myself a little bit when you could walk into a Macworld keynote and be completely surprised. You know, completely flat out cold. You know, nobody had any idea that something was coming to the stage, and you know, now with all the supply chain analysis and everything, it's almost impossible. And I respect the fact that that's good journalistic investigation, but at the same time, I question whether you know it really benefits me to know some of these things when they aren't 100% vetted. Yeah. I wonder if it doesn't do a little more damage.
Absolutely. Is it interesting? I mean, are we talking about it? Yes. We're part of the problem, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. If people didn't have a desire to know this stuff, then there wouldn't be any value in leaking it. And there wouldn't be all of the rumor websites out there. And we wouldn't be having this discussion right now. But Chuck, I totally get what you're saying. And and I absolutely loved being able to be just flat out surprised by an announcement. And like the one that really stands out for me was the first base station. And when Apple introduced that, we're sitting here watching this brand new iBook, you know, the clamshell iBook being shown off and introduced, and it's on the internet and it's doing all of this cool network stuff. And then almost as a side note, just played so, so well, Steve Jobs points out that there are no wires connected to it. And we all just flipped. And then they show us that first gray base station. That was such a wonderful surprise.
Yeah, I mean, there have been other examples. For me personally, Swift. Nobody expected Apple to launch another language that they had been working on for many, many, many years. And no leaks and nothing. Like, nobody expected it. And all of a sudden, I think it was Tim Cook at that point, was like, oh, by the way, we have Swift.
Yep, that was really cool. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But it's rare.
Yeah, even the iPhone. I mean, think back to that introduction. You know, yes, we knew that Apple was coming up with some kind of phone. We didn't have to not have anywhere near the details, though, to the point that Jobs could do his, you know, it's this, it's that, you know, are you getting it? Are you getting it? And and that line worked because, yeah, nobody understood what exactly was happening in front of them for those few seconds. So I don't feel like I need to know. Joe in the chat room says it's impossible to launch a complete unknown product anymore because people talk about the rumors, like on a Friday on the Mac show. And Joe, you're not wrong, you know. But the trouble is that if we don't address it, you know, we feel like we're not serving our audiences. And I can speak for myself because I know that's the way I feel about my show. And I think Ewan would probably agree with me. And I don't know if you guys do, but you know, if we don't talk about them to some degree, we feel like we're not doing our job because other people are talking about them, and there's no way to just put a blanket over everything as much as
you can. Completely ignore it.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately at the moment, that is the news. That is what is there to be talked about. There isn't a lot else because of the nature of how it is, you know, and frankly, if we're not talking about what might come out, we're talking about obviously leaks like this and stuff like that will happen periodically, but most of the stuff that we talk about, certainly on the Mac show anyway, is what's going to come out next and you know, this kind of thing. So
and I mean, there is rumor and there is rumor. There are rumors that are just speculation. It's just people like us thinking about things, looking at things and wishing a certain future, which I think is fine. Like, I mean, we can talk about like what we want out of iOS 15 without any knowledge. I mean, kind of like every Mac show, we have no clue what we're talking about, kind of. So, I mean, we can do that. And like, based on our desires and our experience, we can say this is what we would think realistically could be in there, things we wish would be in there, stuff like that. We do that, and that's fine. And then there are rumors that are based on leaks, evidence of some sort, partial information provided by some uncle in China, I don't know. And I think that's the damaging part, because it is always incomplete information, but it's enticing enough that people believe it and that it might actually give away. And even if it only gives away something in a sense that based on that information, you can like imagine what the real product will be like.
Well, okay, at the risk of sounding arrogant, but hey, I'm an American, so I think it's okay. When we talk about rumors, we're bringing a different perspective to a lot of the rumors, because there are some people and some sites that will present a rumor as fact. And then that gives the average Apple product user a false sense of what's actually happening with Apple and with their products. And when we're talking about rumors and speculation, we make it clear that this is rumor and speculation, and we can offer our perspective on whether or not there's any validity to these rumors. And
we make it clear that we have no clue. So
We make it clear we have no clue.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I agree with you, Jeff, completely. Here in the echo chamber, I think there's a great deal of integrity along those lines. But for the average person who hears something and doesn't read it carefully or doesn't follow it and takes it as gospel, then that's where I think the problem comes. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's, we can't not do it, but I have to wonder, I don't think we're being irresponsible about it because we're making it as clear as possible that we don't know what we're talking about. But if this were to be, then this is what we think about it. Mm. But there's a fine line in there.
Yeah, definitely.
That's true. Yeah. And our friends and family that are not in the echo chamber, they actually have a nice benefit by knowing us. I mean, I routinely get emails or text messages or phone calls from family and friends mm-hmm. where they read a headline, Apple is doing this, and they want me to tell them what Apple is doing because they read this headline. Mm-hmm. And I have to explain to them, no, that's just a rumor. Apple is not releasing a new holographic iPhone in 3 weeks. You know, or whatever the crazy rumor is that they read as fact.
Yeah.
Oh, Cal, I'm sorry. Oh, I hate to be the one to tell you, but yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's Apple itself that releases that information. I mean, there have been instances where I'm like 99.9% certain that Apple actually leaked that information on purpose. Like back when they switched from, was it the switch from 30-pin to Lightning? I think that was one where when they removed the headphone port.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure they leaked that under the radar on purpose to basically preemptively clear out the news coverage about it before the event.
Apple is the master at controlling their narrative.
Yep.
And it is absolutely certain that at times they will strategically release information to appear as a leak to control the message and mm-hmm. the perception.
Yeah. So Apple is to some extent at least part of the problem. I mean, also because they sometimes accidentally release information because they put stuff in beta versions that probably shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Well, they put stuff up on the website that was too early, stuff like that.
Well, you think about it. As many people as are involved in their projects and as many supply chains as are involved mm-hmm. and the level of scrutiny that Apple is under constantly, it's surprising that they are able to surprise us at any yeah. level with anything at all.
That's true.
You know, so in some ways, and I actually respect them for, you know, okay, the mm-hmm. rumor mill is out there. So, hey, if it exists, let's play it. You know, let's see if we can use it to our advantage. Mm-hmm. So I respect that fact. I wish they didn't have that option because I didn't wish it was necessary, but mm-hmm. I feel like it is. And, you know, if I could make the call, I would do it.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I think, like we just talked about that it was easier to be surprised like 10, 15 years ago. And I think it's not anybody's fault in particular. It's simply, as you said, a scale. Apple has scaled up. I mean, 15, 20 years ago, Apple was much smaller. They were very tight group of people mm-hmm. that worked on a few products. Now the organization is massive, like with supply chain and everything. You cannot control that. Like, and Apple is trying hard, very, very hard. And you hear sometimes how like insane some things are that Apple is doing to control it. Like siloing information, not having, like, nobody can talk about anybody about anything basically in some areas, because you don't know whether the other person is even read in on that topic. Like, you can't work with certain people because they're not part of that project. Like, they're doing a lot of stuff to sino information and security as well. So it's like, it's still at that scale, it's impossible. And I think that's okay. Like, I think that's something we simply have to live with.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, this is not a situation that is exclusively Apple.
Yep.
All really big companies are mm-hmm. playing the same game. We're yep. just more aware of of this because we follow Apple closely.
I think there's also more focus on Apple. On Google, for example, I mean, Google is a pretty big, massive company on Facebook. Not many people really, I mean, information leaks, but nobody cares. Very few people even pick it up. And that's a difference to Apple. Like anything Apple, anything leaks, even like the slightest hint at anything, is immediately picked up and like explodes.
Patrice, that's a great point, because if you think about it, we because we are us, we know there are plenty of Apple sites out there. Hmm. Are there any just straight Google sites? Are there any straight Microsoft? I mean, mm-hmm. Maybe they exist, right? But they aren't even close to part of the mainstream.
Yes, so. 9to5 has a couple. There are others. I know.
They
certainly aren't as prevalent as Apple ones, though, are they? Which I think is the point Chuck's making, mm-hmm. Around everything to do with Apple, there's this huge, I'm going to use the word, it's probably not the right one, this huge sort of circus around it where mm-hmm. as soon as anything happens, it's jumped on, discussed to the nth degree, which I don't think you get with other companies necessarily to the same extent, which is, you know, well, it is what it is, I suppose.
I mean, maybe in the gaming world, like Sony, mm-hmm. maybe. There are some areas where stuff like happens.
So I'm not quite sure, sir. Callum just referred to this as the circus. Do you think that makes us the clowns?
Oh, Chuck, yes. If you have to ask. But I'll break it to you gently. Yes, Chuck.
Yes.
We are the clowns.
Okay, the little clown car is pulling up outside my car, outside my house right now.
Yeah. Oh, the reason really big why shish. Our ringtones roll.
The question is, who is Burnham then?
Well, it used to be Steve Jobs.
That's true. You're right. Now it's Tim Cook.
Yeah, Elon Musk, I think, really wants to be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that is a good example for another company. Like, no matter what they do, it's picked up everywhere.
Yeah. Good point. Mm-hmm.
Well, this topic ran a lot longer than I expected. I'm not complaining, just observing. <Nope. laughs> I'll just toss another one out for us, which, of course, is a rumor. And I actually hadn't planned on the way it was going to tie in. It just happened to work that way. But here's the deal. Apparently, Apple's next AirPods version is ready to ship, and we have a new 12.9 inch iPad Pro that's coming soon, and we may have a media event on March 23rd where both of these products are announced. And let's see. I think I have some... wow, excuse me. Sorry about that. I think I have some extra info on both of these. Okay, so new AirPods will have a design similar to AirPods Pro with the shorter stems. But they probably won't have active noise cancellation. So basically like I'll call them entry-level AirPod Pros.
Nothing of that is surprising. I mean, that they're going to pick up more of a Pro design makes sense. That they're not going to have noise cancellation also makes sense, because Apple is selling a separate set that has it for a higher price.
Right. So. And apparently these are not going to have the removable ear tips.
Yeah,
so they'll be more like
AirPods.
Yeah, yep. And then the 12.9 inch iPad Pro is supposedly going to have a mini LED display, and A14X processor, and 5G cellular network support. And there we go. Now, the person that has leaked this information which website are they typically on? Weibo, so the Chinese social media website. And this person does have a track record of releasing information that does turn out to be accurate. It doesn't mean they do it all the time, but you know, there is that. So anyhow, with all of that, what do you think?
I'm absolutely amazed we haven't seen a lower tier of AirPods sooner, because I was looking at it the other week, reading something very similar. The original AirPods are 5 years old, or clocking on for 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'm amazed we haven't seen something come in at the lower tier sooner. You know, that Apple are very good at usually being one to 2 years with stuff. So for nearly 5 years is actually very, very surprising. It doesn't surprise me at all that we are seeing a new lower band of AirPod Pros. And I think it's probably a little bit overdue, to be honest with you.
I have a hypothesis on that.
Isn't the wired lightning AirPods, earpods, aren't those the lower tier ones?
Yeah, I was going to say. But these are AirPods, not AirPods Pro. So you have to... to distinguish them. I think they're going to still market these as AirPods just to keep them at the low end. And then the AirPods Pro, which I'm wearing, are the ones that are going to stay on the high end. And if anything, maybe they would just do like a feature jump, like they've done, like they do with the AirPods, because there's the first gen, that's what these are. And then there's the second gen, which they're saying in the article that they're going to get discontinued, which are currently on the market. So, but yeah, I think they want to distinguish it to make them more affordable. Well, consider affordable $159, but I think that's where their goal is just to get, and Callum's right. I mean, they haven't touched these in 5 years. I mean, so it's been an awful long time.
They have touched them. They did the second gen.
They did a second gen, right. But,
yeah, and then they did the Pro. So I just think, I mean, there is no, for me personally at least, there was very little reason to touch them. They sold a crap ton. Like, what could they do? I mean, they introduced like the second gens with like a little bit better audio, better battery life, wireless charging, and that was it. Like, what else could they do?
I was just about to ask you, Vance, my question. My understanding was the only difference between the first and the second generation was the wireless charging, but if obviously the audio improved a bit,
slightly, like minimal improvement.
Answer my question, but even still, though, they don't need to release a new iPhone every year, but they do. So it just surprised me that it's taken them nearly five years to get to that point. So,
but the iPhone is different on many levels.
Just something that's always
a little different.
The iPhone is a computer, and like has a lot of like functionality. And the AirPods are kind of a single purpose device. Like even the Pros are kind of a single purpose device. They play audio and serve as a microphone. So maybe dual purpose, but that's about it. Like it's not like anything crazy. So will Apple come up with some, I mean, they came up with spatial audio. Will they come up with some crazy other stuff? Sure. But I mean, from my perspective, there's not so much that they need to iterate on them every 2 years or whatever. I mean, other than battery life, like that's probably the big thing, like how long the battery lasts and how good it is. There's nothing wrong with them. Like even like I still have here the first gen that I barely use, but they're fine. I mean, the battery is dying, but that's it. They still work. I mean, the Pros are better from like a usage standpoint, but if I had those still, I would be totally happy.
And I did a review of that service, and I think I did it as a cool stuff on from the company called PodSwap. Yeah. And I did have the batteries placed on this one. All they basically do is send you a new pair with fresh batteries in it. So they are able to get into those AirPods, replace the batteries, and they're recycling. The batteries on these before were horrible. I mean, it was like, I couldn't even get an hour out of them, but now I got a fresh pair here and it only cost me $60. Yeah. Bucks. So.
Exactly. So except this, the only reason Apple is probably releasing a new one is because they can, and because they might want to upgrade the internals a little bit.
I think there's a couple things coming into play in replacing the lower end earpods or AirPods with something new. And it's that they've had the design that they started, what was it, 5 years ago, really?
Mm-hmm.
When AirPods first came out. 2016.
Yep.
And so the manufacturing cost for the various components is comparatively really low now. So their margins are much higher. Yep. And so they have this low cost, high margin product that's been selling well enough that there's no reason to change it. So my guess is that now they're seeing a drop off in sales, and the mm-hmm. manufacturing costs for components for the AirPods Pro has come down enough that they can take the various components and make a lower end version of that for a lower price point. And now it makes sense for them to make that transition, which mm-hmm. will probably bring that lower end AirPod sale rate back up again, because now it'll be yep. a new redesigned, and they'll still have good margins because they've already worked through the cost of design and manufacturing for a lot of those components.
That's true. Yeah. I mean,
do you still think we're going to see the kind of original AirPods on the market after these new ones come out as almost like a lowest end one?
No.
Other than clearance and people reselling them.
Yeah.
There's, I say no, but there's still a possibility that it'll be a yes. And the reason I say that is because we had the whole transition out of the iPod product line, except for the iPod Touch. Mm. And even when it was basically just the iPod Touch, you could still get shuffles and maybe minis. Apple was still making them, but they weren't even on display in the stores. You went in and you just said, hey, I want this. And they went back and pulled it off a shelf and sold it to you.
Or told you to order online.
Yeah, or told you to go buy it online. Yeah.
I'm just sort of thinking on the kind of Apple Watch kind of route they've done with it. So they've brought out the Apple Watch 6 and the SE, and the SE is basically an Apple Watch 3, but with a few nice bits and pieces added on. So I was just thinking,
and the 4, I think they're still selling.
Yes, they're still selling the 4, but they've got rid of the 5. So the way my brain's gone with it is, are they potentially bringing in this new one at, yeah, are they bringing this new one in at 159 and then maybe lowering the other ones and turning them into AirPods Lite or something like that, maybe, or AirPods SE, I don't know. But,
it's a fair question, but I feel obligated to point out at this point that when the AirPods, not the Pro, but the AirPods were introduced at their price point. Oh my God. People, you know, why would anybody ever buy this when I can go into the drugstore and buy them for $0.98? And, you know, and they were a hit. And then AirPods Pro came out. Oh my God, who's going to spend that kind of money for noise canceling earphones? You know, the world doesn't need that. A few people like Patrice do, but most people don't need that. And they too are a runaway hit. And so, you know, we're right back to that discussion of Apple doesn't need to play in the very bottom end. And it would be to their detriment to do so, not only financially, but just, you know, why undercut the sales of products that you know are hits with something that, you know, just to try to capture that lower margin, lower priced area just doesn't work.
I mean, Apple has even admitted that they have problems making AirPods fast enough. So I like, and they have become iconic. Like it's kind of like the old cable wired, like with the iPods, basically, where everybody had to have those like white AirPods or earpods or whatever they were called. Like the Apple, what were the headphones, headbuds? I don't remember what they were called. The ones with the wired ones with that came with the iPod. I don't even remember what they were called. They were before earbuds.
I think they were called earpods, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. But I mean, they were iconic, and every like, even if people didn't like the iPod, they wanted those headphones. And you're seeing a very similar thing right now with the white, like AirPods now. I mean, to the point that there are knockoffs that look exactly the same, because people want them, but they don't want to spend, or they don't want to pay Apple for it. So they're so iconic that I said Apple has a problem, which is a super luxury problem, that they can't make them enough. So why would they introduce a lower tier that makes it even harder for them?
I think where I was potentially sort of going with it more was, are these gonna come in as a kind of mid-level? So you still have the $159 price point, then you have the AirPod Pros, which are $250, I think, aren't they? And then you might have them sat at $200 or $199 or whatever. That was where I was sort of thinking with it, to be honest with you.
I mean, technically, Apple has the good, better, best approach, and technically they already have it. For even if you only segment wireless headphones, mm-hmm. because they have the AirPods, the standard ones, as the good product. They have the Pros as the better product, and then they have the best product, which is their really expensive, but what I've heard, really, really good AirPods Max. Mm-hmm. So
I forgot about them.
I mean, will Apple do this eventually? Or could they do it? Could they do it eventually, like in the future? Sure. Like, I think once they stop selling the wired headphones, they might actually do something like this. But I think for now, I think the pricing, the economics aren't working out yet that they could go like whatever, $30. At least not at the quality that Apple wants. They can totally do it like others are doing.
I don't think they'd ever go to that price point, and I don't think they've got any need to be honest with you. I think you know, $159, I could maybe see going to $99 at some point, but I think while we're still where we are, I can't see it for a long while.
In the future, like in 5-10 years, I would think that there would be a market and a reason for Apple to have sub $100 headphones, like wireless headphones. Once we don't have ports anymore with our phones, there will be a need for it. And I could see Apple doing that eventually, but I said not right now.
Patrice, I can't. It's ironic. I've clicked the link that Jeff put in the chat room, and so I'm on the Mac Rumors site. And one of the banners that is cycling through is introducing Galaxy Buds Pro from Samsung.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's how popular they are.
Gee, wonder where they got that idea. You know, so.
Completely original, that is.
Yeah. What were the ones that looked like knockoffs and were held up by customs called? OneBuds or something?
Those were from Samsung.
Yeah.
and actually, when they opened up the packaging, they didn't even look anything like AirPods.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Well, they looked similar enough, but like.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, before we leave this, before we leave this topic, I wanted to just say that I'm looking at the article that you posted, and that I think it's just great that Kang, after he left Star Trek, got a new job as a leaker.
I was just thinking, I've heard that name somewhere.
You're the best ever.
Yeah. It's like, really. Oh,
that's awesome. All right. So this rumor article, the way we approached it, I think, is very telling about what people are interested in, because there's all the stuff in here about an iPad Pro as well, but all we cared about were AirPods. So I think that's kind of telling.
The iPad is just like the one that went from 2018 to 2020. It was whoop-de-doo. And they had a few feature bumps. I think this is going to be the same thing. Oh, yeah, it's got 5G support. Okay, yay, yippee. I don't think everybody in the world uses cellular on their iPads. Right now anyway, but that's where people kind of take that attitude towards iPads. I mean, I still have I'm still using a 2018 model. I'm perfectly happy with it. It's still working great. So
yep. Hey, this show and all the others on British Tech Network are sponsored by TSO Hosts. So big thank you to TSO Hosts for being here for us and making sure that we can have the bandwidth we need and the storage space we need to bring shows to you every single week. And what they would love from us, of course, they would love your business because, hey, you know, TSO Hosts and they do cool stuff. So, you know, if you need a domain name or some hosting, they've got your back. But all they're really asking of us is to give them a shout out on social media. So head over to your favorite social media and give them some love and let them know that that you appreciate, that we appreciate them being here for us and making sure that we can bring shows to you every single week and that there's a place for you to go and find past episodes so you can relive your favorite moments and spend even more time with us because let's be honest, who wouldn't want to? Also, Iman Max sponsors us and they're pretty awesome. As I've said before, if I need to have any work done to fix any of my Apple products, if I wasn't on this side of the Atlantic Ocean, the only person that I would let touch my devices would be Cal, because he's the only person that I feel like I could trust implicitly to open up any of my Apple gear and fix it and get it back to me and have it work correctly. And one of the things that Iman Max does is instead of just like looking inside and saying, yeah, this thing, it's kind of borked, and then throw out your logic board. And by the way, that's exactly how Cal sounds when he's working on stuff like that. Yeah, it's kind of borked. instead,
why does he turn Italian all of a sudden?
Oh, well, it's been great having Iman Max as a sponsor, and I can't wait to see who's next.
A well-known Italian last name, O'Hara.
That's why I went with Italian, not Irish.
Yeah. best sponsor spot ever. Anyhow, Cal, he'll actually go and take the components that are failing or have failed, and he can replace those for you. So like he'll do board level fixes like chips and capacitors and magic, which is pretty awesome. So the one problem that we're having right now is overcoming the psychological trauma that Cal has with dealing with Apple devices that are wrapped in fabric. And I'm assuming that Joe's paying for the coverage for getting Cal the help he needs to be able to work through this and start fixing Apple gear that's wrapped in fabric. So, Cal, do you have a device of the week for us?
I don't actually, but I have something a little bit different. So this week, I alluded to it, I think is the right word, a few shows ago. We've actually got a leasing partner in place. So if you want to lease a machine from us, it may be better terms for your business. There's loads and loads of different reasons why you might want to lease a machine rather than buy one. You can do it through Iman Max. So if you are interested in leasing machine, reach out to us through all the usual channels I'll mention at the end, and we can look at getting something sorted out for you. So not a machine of the week, but a nice little nugget for everyone, hopefully.
That's awesome. Yeah, if you have a business that needs to have the newest and most powerful Apple hardware like every 18 to 24 months, then leasing is probably a better way to go. And that's something that I discovered years ago when I was doing Apple consulting for a lot of businesses, is that it was cheaper for them to lease the newest gear than to try and buy all the high-end computers they need and then every 2 years try and buy them again.
Especially from in most countries from an accounting perspective, because a lease is not owning the hardware. So it's just a business expense. You literally just, it's like paying for software.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. In most countries, not in all of them, but most countries.
Hey, if you need to get any of your gear fixed, and I'm in Max, mention BTN when you go in, and not only will they smile, they'll give you 5% discount. So there, see, look at that smile. Makes our hearts melt. And since Ewan is not here to stop me, the contest to win an Iron Max mug or Qi Charger is still going on because, like I said, Ewan is not here to stop me. So if you want to enter the contest, what you need to do is send an email to BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com. And in that email, you need to include the names of the four people that work at Iron Max. Now, I've made it super easy for you because I've already given you half of those names today. Which when you say it like that, it sounds like I'm giving you half of a name for someone. What I really mean is I have given you the names of two of the employees. That would be Cal or Callum and Joe. And so now you need to find two more names. Send all of those in that email to enter in the contest. And then at some point, Ewan's finally going to say, holy crap, Jeff, stop talking about the contest. And he's going to draw some names out and then you win. I'm in Max Mug or I'm in Max Qi Charger. And they're all like really cool. So get into that contest. And Patrice, would you please help me out and tell people where the chat is so that they can go and find the links to everything that we've talked about today and the cool things we're about to talk about?
Yeah. So our chat transcript, so kind of our show notes, you can head over to BritishTechNetwork.com/chat and then navigate to the 12th of March, 2021. And you will find all the links and everything. And as always, please do not click on any links Muller Biker has posted. It's just safer that way. Yeah, it's just safer that way.
Most important advice you'll hear today. Yeah. Cool things. Chuck, what do you have?
Okay, I just put the link in the chat room. My cool thing is this. And right about now, you're saying, why would you pick this as a cool thing? This is
I have an idea.
This is your basic letter sorter, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But I'll put this one down. But this solves a problem for me because I have a whole lot of little mini hard drives, USB powered hard drives, that I need a rack for. And it fits them perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I had a feeling that's where you were going.
Yep.
Either that or iPads.
that or iPads. But, you know, and of course, all the cables are attached. So this way I can put this on my desk. And if I want one of these hard drives, I just plug it in and go. And this is ridiculously inexpensive. And now I will say this much that this, in fact, you may be able to see that this one got broken because I dropped it. But so it's not like hyper stable, but on the other hand, except for showing it here on the Mac show, it just lives on my desk. It's not going anywhere. And it's more than sufficient to handle the weight of these drives. And if you look at the respective drives, you know, there's some older, thicker ones and there's some newer, thinner ones, and they all fit right in there. So if you have this problem and need a rack for these drives, there you go. Okay. It's a lot better than having them stacked somewhere or just strewn all over your desk like they used to be for me. Now I'm organized and I'm proud of that.
Yeah. Or if you have a letter sorter that you don't know what to do with because you don't have letters anymore.
Mm-hmm. No, Patrice, thank you. Because you know what? Yeah, I'll bring it back. The only trouble with some letter sorters is they're too darn deep. I mean, that was what was so beautiful about this. It's just the right height so that I don't have any trouble, you know, getting them in. I mean, some, the drive would just disappear down into and you'd never be able to find it. So this really is, I mean, it's like it was built for it. You know, somebody could probably charge a whole lot more money, you know, than what, if they marketed it as a drive rack as opposed to a letter sorter. But hey, it works.
You've just changed the way I work. Completely.
Chuck, you're welcome, when you held that up, my first thought was, oh, Chuck doesn't have a bin of Lego bricks. Because I knew you were going to be telling me that you put hard drives in it. And it's no secret that I made racks for all of my little hard drives like that out of Lego bricks.
And Jeff, I will be very honest. I actually thought about going and buying some Lego bricks to do exactly that. And then I looked at what they were charging for Lego bricks. And it's like, there's got to be a cheaper solution, you know, because I feel silly spending that much money just to get random pieces to build a rack. And this solves it. So yes, you were my inspiration. No question about it.
Well, I'm glad I could help you get organized. And seriously, that's a really cool way or a clever way to store a bunch of smaller drives. I love it.
It's the best 13 quid I've ever spent. I've just brought it, if you're wondering. It's the best 13 quid I've ever spent. But there you go.
Only $6.70 in the States.
Yeah, well, there's the other one that you can get. Oh my God.
Black one.
The black one is $16.24 or
$10 more.
You get the same thing in the transparent blue for $6.70.
Yeah.
Wow. That black pigment must be really expensive.
Yeah, well, remember, wow, they did a black MacBook that was $100 more. So maybe that follows along.
Yeah, could be. Patrice, what do you have for us?
So I'm going to continue picking awesome TV shows, or in this case, a really great movie that I watched. It's kind of fitting for the show on Apple TV Plus. The show is called Palmer, and it's about there's like this guy, 12 years, has been in prison for 12 years, former high school star, and he moves back in with his grandma and forms kind of an unlikely bond with a like an outcast kid, like troubled home, bullied in school, all of it, sweetest kid in the world. And like as he's trying to get back on his feet, he like bonds with this kid and takes care of him. And it's a really, really great show, a great movie. It's Justin Timberlake stars in it. It's not too long, hour 50. So if you have Apple TV Plus, and I mean, why wouldn't you? It's free right now. Then go watch it. It's a great movie.
Yeah, that was a great movie. I saw it myself. Got a few tears in my moments. Oh, yeah. It was a very, very, very
absolutely
touching movie.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. Starts rough and then it gets really, really, really cool.
It's on my list of stuff to watch. And
I'll move it higher on my list now.
Cool.
You got
cool.
Two recommendations.
Yay. Okay, that's more than enough. Dave, what do you have for us?
Yeah, I decided, as probably many of us do, decided to dabble in Kickstarter here. And I found this interesting stand made by a company called Moft, I don't know, however you say them. It's called the Moft Float. It's an invisible, foldable case. I have it here.
Oh, my see how it God, just mine's still in customs.
Yeah. I just got it 2 days ago. So, it's a universal stand case. So like I can put it this way and it'll lay flat like this, but then what you can do is you can pull all the way out and it becomes a floating stand. So now it just floats by itself and you have a full stand here. And it goes in a couple different positions, you know, however you'd like to do it. But I thought it was a nifty little thing. The Kickstarter cost was like around $40. It's still in Kickstarter. So it hasn't gone market just yet, but, and they also give you a little plastic cover here, a template that you could put on the iPad too, if you want. And it works fine with the touch if you want to protect it with a protected shield and you can adhesive it to it. So I thought this was a pretty cool little case here that works with the iPad Pro. It comes in the 11 and the 12.9. I have the 11, so I bought that, of course. Check it out. They're still doing Kickstarter campaigns, so you can still join if you want. And I'm hoping that it hits market soon. I think this is a pretty cool thing. Only drawback I've kind of found is I did see when I was using it, it does bounce a little bit when you're tapping things, so it is a little bouncy. But it's nothing that you can't overcome, and not a bad little device.
I signed up for that Kickstarter early on. Like long enough ago, yeah, I forgot about it until I got the email saying, hey, you know, it's going to ship. And then I get the notice on January 26th that, okay, it's shipping now. And and I think that's basically when mine hit customs in the United States. and it's been there ever since. So every now and then I would see like a Twitter post from someone saying, oh, I got this really cool thing, the Moth Float. And it's just been like, where is mine? And now you actually have one. And so maybe that means I'll get one.
Yours is coming.
Finally.
What else did you order in that order, Jeff? Because like if it's stuck in customs this long, something is wrong.
That's why he gets the funny adverts.
Maybe
my float comes with a little something something.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, David, would you show again? Yeah. I mean, were you showing that there's you can adhesive something for screen protection?
Yeah, the screen it's clear, so you can't see it, but it does go on. It actually snaps into the case, so then you have a clear protection. So if you want to. Instead, because most cases have a cover, whereas this doesn't.
Right.
So you can put this in place. Yeah. And it's got, yeah, it, I don't know, it's hard to see. This pulls off. So you can, I think it doesn't adhesive. I think it clings to the iPad. So you have it, but it the touch is working fine when you touch things, it has full reaction. Doesn't affect it too. Oh yeah. The other thing I forgot to mention too is, when you, open this up. It is a little hard to open, I must say, to sometimes to get this out here. So, but it does have a stabilizer bar here. Let's see if I can push this up here. But you can, yeah, this little bar here. See this? It slides back and forth, so it adds some stability to when you have it in this mode. So that little bar here will actually keep it a little more stable, and it slides in and out, and that's in the back here. So.
Very nice. Yeah, that's the only thing that about so many of these stands is I want right. something to protect the screen of my. I mean, protecting the back is important. Protecting the screen is where the money is.
Yeah, and so they include that, this. That so yeah,
that's great.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, I'm jealous. I should have ordered one, but then mine might be stuck in customs with Jeff.
Yeah. Well,
then, did you order it or no? You didn't order it.
No.
I ordered it because I wanted something that I could use as a stand to hold my iPad higher when I'm using an external keyboard. So
yeah. I do have the Apple Magic Keyboard, but it doesn't go as high as this one. This one does a little higher for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm so happy for you and only mildly jealous. Cal, what do you have for us today?
So my pick this week is Mission Control Plus, which is, of course, a setup app. It seems like all my picks are setup apps, to be honest with you, but there's just so much in it and it's so good. It's a really neat little app. It doesn't do a great deal, but what it does do really, for me, improves my workflow when I'm using my Mac. So basically, it adds a couple of features to Mission Control, the biggest one being when you press the Mission Control button, whatever you have it set to, you can quit an app within Mission Control and you can reorder them as well. So say if you've got loads of windows open, you press it, you can get rid of what you want there and then, and you can change where they are as well. So it's in setup. It's a really neat little app. Yeah, I think if you want to buy it outright direct from them, I think it's about £7 or something like that. You get a 10-day free trial as well, just to check if you like it. So a neat little app, Mission Control Plus, and it's in setup. So always a bonus.
Cool.
Wow. Nice pick.
You know, I'd seen that in there, but hadn't like really checked it out yet. So thanks for doing that for me. So now I know what it really is. All right, so my pick this week, I'm following Patrice's lead, and I'm going with a show. Excuse me, and I know I'm really late to the game with this, but I finally started watching, and holy crap, it's so good! And it's Penny Dreadful. So I'm partway into season one, and it's like Victorian England, and it's a horror mystery thriller kind of series. And what they did was and so this is not spoiler territory. They took all the classic monster characters and tropes and put all of that together into a series. And, you know, so you have vampires and just, you know, all the stuff that goes along with all of that. And it's just really fun. And each week each episode, there's just another little twist at the end where you're like, okay, well, this will be interesting next episode. It has Timothy Dalton and Billy Piper. And now I'm drawing a blank on the other people that are in the series. But anyhow, it has a really good cast, and the stories flow really nicely. And it's really nicely done. Every now and then you will have some graphic gore, you know, not like insane exploding blood everywhere stuff, at least not yet. I'm only a few episodes in, but it's like someone is killed and dismembered and you get to see the body, you know, so that kind of graphic gore. Anyhow, it's really cool. It's a lot of fun. And I'm glad that I finally got around to watching it, and I started it on a whim, and I'm so glad that I did. So Penny Dreadful, it's a lot of fun. All right. We made it to the end of yet another show, getting us that much closer to when Ewan gets to come back and join us and lead our ragtag band of ships on our journey to find the 13th colony. Nope, that's Battlestar Galactica. Anyhow, Ewan, we're really looking forward to you coming back and joining us again. So hope you feel better soon. And it's just not the same without you, but we're doing our best. Hey, thanks to all of you for being here today. And when I say you, I mean everyone that tunes in and watches live, everyone that watches the videos later or listens to the show later, thank you to all of you. And thanks to this amazing panel today for doing such an awesome job and making it so easy for me. So easy, in fact, that I practically didn't even have to come up with topics today, because everyone had plenty of awesome insights to share. Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you can find me, where we talk to lots of interesting people about tech and Apple tech, obviously oriented. And MacVoices Live Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on YouTube and Facebook. Stop by the chat rooms and say hello. You will recognize a lot of faces, some that have been here from BTN, some that you'll see from other places, but love to have you join us. And I'm on the socials as @ChuckJoiner. Jeff, thanks for having me. And Ewan, get better. Keep your hands off the nurses. Get better.
excellent advice all the way around. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, they can find me every week here on the Mac Show every Friday, on the Big Show every Thursday. All the social media links, buy me a coffee link, everything you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to interesting people about food and their food-related stories and memories.
Awesome. And Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me on my podcast, In Touch with iOS, at intouchwithios.com. You also can find me on Mac Voices Live each week. Have a great time on that with Chuck and our gang. And you also can find me on here on the Mac Show, as well as on Mac to the Future Go livecast on YouTube and Facebook with Guy Searle. You also can find me on Twitter at DaveG65. And yes, Ewan, get better. We miss you, and hopefully you'll be back soon. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And Callum, where are you?
You can get hold of us and everything we do at imnmax.com. We're on all the usual socials at imnmax. I'm in the Slack room. I'm on Twitter at O'Hara Callum. If you've got any questions, absolutely anything you want to ask, please do reach out. We will do everything we can to help you with repairs, advice, anything you need. And just to echo that, really, please get well soon, Ewan. And thanks for having me.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamut, both places. And on Thursdays, you can find me on The Big Show. Here it's Friday, so you can find me on The Mac Show. A lot of Tuesdays, you can find me on Mac Voices Live. And I get around. I do a lot of shows. So just, you know, go out and search for me and you'll find me. Occasionally, I even do In Touch with iOS. Dave, I remember the name of the show all the time now.
You did now. Yes.
I'm so proud of myself. thanks again to everyone for joining us today. Every one of you rocks. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you again next week.
Good show, folks.